Our scripture is Hebrews 10, 1 through 25. The law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And when these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Last Sunday, we saw how we use our bodies impacts our spiritual growth. Our Father gifted us with the capacity for nonstop giving and receiving of his love and the love of others. Our Creator integrated our spirits and our bodies toward that end. Love requires another person with whom to share and receive affection. Without community, there is no love. The reason 1 John 4:8 declares God is love is because from all eternity, God exists in a loving community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God did not need to create anything to give and receive love. God created to share his infinite love with his creation. Adele Calhoun, in her book, The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, wrote this, quote, "We are meant to live in community in the same way God does. In the company of others, we make our journey and learn to tell the truth about ourselves. Interacting with others, we learn the vulnerability of giving and receiving love." End quote. In other words, when we gather as Christ's church, we learn how to love God, how to love each other, and how to love our neighbors in ways that are impossible to achieve outside of the gathering of God's children, which is his body in the world. The first 18 verses of our scripture passage this morning tells us how we come to be Christ's body on this earth and why it is important that we gather as his body. Simply put, Jesus' death on the cross resolved our greatest problem. The greatest problem of all humankind since our creation is our sin. It is the atoning death of Jesus for our sins that makes it possible for us this morning to gather as his body on earth. And it is the working out of the meaning of his atoning death in heaven and on earth that makes it more important than we can possibly imagine that we are faithful in coming together as his body. Our world does not like to talk about sin. For most folks in our society, sin is meaningless. Sin has its most powerful meaning in relationship to God's moral law. Practically speaking, most people, despite what they may confess about belief in God, in practice, live as if God does not exist. Therefore, a God-given moral law to which we are responsible, in practice, is meaningless. It follows then that for those persons who live as if God does not exist and therefore his moral law is meaningless, there can be, in no practical sense, sin. For there is no law to transgress. Nevertheless, the Bible teaches us that our sin hangs like a heavy curtain, a barrier that bars us from entering the most holy place, which is the presence of God. God makes it clear that sin is our number one problem. Well, what is sin? If loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself is how one keeps God's moral law, and it is, because that's what Jesus said it is, if that's true, then sin is any action or inaction in which I do not express love toward God and love toward my neighbor. Is there anyone here who has never failed to fully love God or to fully love your neighbor? I'll take a show of hands on that. No. No, none of us would claim to have fully loved God and fully loved our neighbor. Proving God's word true that, quote, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, God's word teaches us that we are dead in our transgressions and sins, deserving the wrath of God. In our sins and deserving God's wrath, the Apostle Paul calls us to, quote, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world, end quote. Our biggest problem is our sin, our hardness of heart toward God and toward our neighbor, from which no amount of attention given to religious sacrifice or duty will erase our guilt. Our passage this morning says, quote, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. There was no way for us through the heavy curtain of our sins into the most holy place, into the presence of God. Because it is impossible for you or me or anyone else to do anything to achieve forgiveness of our sins, our scripture tells us, quote, therefore, when Christ came into the world by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Those who are being made holy are you and me and all who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In genuine belief in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, we receive the Holy Spirit into our spirit so that day by day we are increasing in our ability to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Holy Spirit alive in us causes us to know that the Lord has indeed put His law in our hearts and written it in our minds, because we simply can't escape our desire to love Him and to love our neighbors. And you know it's true. Even when we fail to love God as we know we should, and even when we fail to love each other and to love our neighbors as we know we should, we can't escape the desire to continue on. The Holy Spirit speaks into our heart and says, look, confess your sin and then leave it behind, because it's been covered by the blood of the Lamb, and press on in loving God and loving your neighbor. And we do. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, gave His body to be whipped, pierced, and nailed to a cross. Jesus submitted Himself in heart, soul, and mind to suffer the agony of total abandonment by God, to pay the penalty for our sin once and for all. When Jesus died, the curtain of our sin separating us from God was split top to bottom. And we who believe in Jesus now dwell in the most holy place. We live in the very presence of God, for God lives in us. It is in Jesus on the cross that we see the love of God for us in heart, soul, mind, and body, broken and poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. Hear the word of the Lord. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that anyone can boast. And God placed all things under His feet and anointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This ends the reading of God's holy word. When we gather each Sunday morning, we gather as the blood-bought children of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all the powers of evil are put on notice that Jesus is Lord of all. Even as we are seated here, we are at the same time in spirit seated in honor and glory with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. When Emmanuel Christian Reformed Church gathers, right here is the temple of God. Right here, heaven and earth touch. Right here, the kingdom of God reigns. Each moment is pregnant with the possibility that His will be done among us, in the world as it is in heaven, as we believe, receive, and obey Him. This, brothers and sisters, is what Emmanuel Church is created for. This is why we are so much better together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the Most High place by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great High Priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance of faith.